All right, gentlemen, it's 12 o'clock. We are going to get started. I'm not going to waste anyone's time. I appreciate each of you being here this afternoon for our 100 Men in Prayer. We have Pastor Shamari White from Have Life Church here in Charlotte, North Carolina, leading us today. Thank you so much for being here, Pastor Sho. The floor is yours.
Amen. What's up, everybody? Thumbs up. We good. Good to see you guys on there. Danny, love you, man. Appreciate you guys. RJ, this is an awesome privilege to just spend some time with some brothers who love Jesus. Thank you for having this Zoom meeting and the opportunity to just to share. I know you've had some great guys on the line and some awesome people speaking. I've gotten a chance to see a couple of them, and I really think that this is a good work. So I'm going to tell you guys, first off, like Elizabeth Taylor told all her husbands, I'm not going to keep you long. I'm going to get to what I got to get to and let you go. Amen. So I'm going to talk a little bit, and then I'm going to pray. Is that okay? RJ, is that good? Okay. I don't want to bore you, so I'm going to kind of go through what's on my heart, what's on my mind. Life as we know it has changed. And things will really never be quite the same again. There are hallmark things that happen in a lifetime that mark you for the rest of your life. Like the Twin Towers falling. We've never been the same as a result of that. And in our lifetime, this is the only pandemic anyone alive has ever dealt with. And so we are all men attempting to lead our families. We don't make excuses, we make adjustments. We've learned that we don't need to spend as much money the way we spend money. We've learned that the clothes we have in our closet work. We don't have to spend money on shopping. We've learned to cook at home and stop going to restaurants as much. And what's crazy is last Monday, literally a week ago today, I was doing my morning prayer, and I was just in prayer. I was praying my scriptures. I was asking God to heal and deliver and set free and all those amazing things. And the Lord spoke to me and said, don't reduce me to being just about this. And man, that shocked me. It hit my heart. I was like, God, what you mean? You are a healer. You can provide. You can keep us. He was like, I know all of that. He was like, but don't let this moment stop you from knowing how big I am. Now listen, when we pray for healing, we pray for healing. When we're praying for deliverance and breakthrough, that's what we're praying for. But God said, you can't pray to me for the next month and a half about the exact same thing and reduce me to that. I'm bigger than that. I was like, oh my God. I said, oh, okay, God, like talk to me. Give me a sense of what you're saying. And God was just saying, I can handle other things also. You're in the house with your kids. Are you praying for your children as much as you should be praying for them and interceding? Or is your child prayers or your prayer for your children only about, Lord, keep them safe from getting COVID-19? He's like, you're not speaking into their futures like you're supposed to be speaking into their futures. You're not doing discipleship with your kids like you're supposed to be. Everything you're talking to them about is the Lord's going to take away anxiety and the Lord's going to heal and the blood of Jesus protects. He's like, okay, they got that. But then use this time to do some other things with them. It just kind of flew out my mind. And so as a man, my new question to God last week was, well, what do you want me to talk to you about? What is it that you want me to deal with in prayer? And God began to deal with me and said, ask me what you're supposed to be doing when this is over. Because this has an expiration date. This has a moment in time where it is broken and it is over. Now, we don't know that date. We don't know when this is going to be over. But God knows the date that this is going to be over. And so when this is over, where do I want you to be? I said, okay, God, like just download. And I began to ask God, where are the hidden opportunities during this crisis? Oh my God. I said, I can't waste this pain. and I can't waste this storm. What should I be doing right now to be ahead of the game when it's over? God, you can speak prophetically to me and give me some insight to what I should be doing. Give me some clues. Give me some ideas. And so for the first time in my life, I looked up the stock market. I've never looked at the stock market. I've never cared about the stock market. I've never even thought about this. This is me personally. Some of y'all might be good at it. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't care. And I was looking up stocks, and I was following some stocks backwards. I said, okay, God, maybe I should start buying some stocks and looking some things. And we're on Zoom right now. And before COVID-19, you could have bought Zoom stock for under $20 a share. And now it's $150, $160 per share. You know how much money we could have made because of COVID-19? Just think if you had invested in Purell. What? Purell, you'll be a millionaire right now. And I said, okay, God, I see. And God said, think outside the box. Be a man of leadership. Be a man of prophetic unctioning and think outside the box. And so, you know, I have life insurance. Hope everybody has life insurance. I called my life insurance carrier. I found out one of my policies was wrong. It was incorrect. I'm sending money to them every month and it's wrong. I said, oh God, I would have never called. I would have never sought answers and solutions. So as a man, I want my family to be taken care of if something happens to me. You know, if this thing would have taken me out, God forbid, they would not have had the money I thought they were going to have, the money I thought I was paying towards. I said, okay, I got to get my insurance right. Let me make sure my credit's right. Let me make sure my retirement's right. Because the Lord willing, we're going to live to retire and we got to be okay. Thumbs up on that. We're going to live to retire in Jesus' name. Okay. So I just begin to ask God, Lord, don't let me waste this storm. Don't let me waste this opportunity. Speak to me. Give me insight. Help me to see. Help me to understand where I am. What do I need to buy some more life insurance? Do I need to get work on my credit? Whatever the case may be. And so first thing I want to do is encourage you guys, man, check out your whole life. Find out where you are as a man. Find out where you are and figure out how to do better from this point forward. The second thing is we've been asked to stay in the house, but it dawned on me, we have to stay in the house we built. And some people can't wait to get out the house that they built. And so if you built this house, you built these relationships, maybe you ought to do some work to make sure that the relationships you're building are the ones you want to live in, okay? Now, we're going to get on each other's nerves sooner or later, but I'd rather get on somebody's nerves I want to be around than getting on somebody's nerves and I'm trying to get up out of here as fast as I can. And so even with my children, I'm having deep conversations with them. I'm asking them, man, how's dad doing? How am I doing? What am I missing? Tell me what you need from me. You're not going to be on punishment. I'm not going to be mad at you. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your perspective. This morning, I got up and anointed all my family. And I just began to pray over them. I want them to see me pray over them. I want them to see me anoint them. I want them to see me anoint the house. Now, of course, they're giggling the whole time, but that's all right. I want to give good impressions that daddy was present. And so I'm doing assessments on my life, assessments on my prayer time, assessments on my devotion. Where am I with God? Assessments on my money. I don't ever want to be caught like this again, where we don't have enough, where we're scrounging around, where we have a job that has the option of laying us off. And if they do, what are we going to do? I don't want to be caught like this. So what do I need to do different? As a man, what do I need to do differently? Do I need to have a side hustle? Do I need to start doing some other type of training, go back to school, whatever the case may be, so that no matter what happens, I don't want to be caught like this again? As a man, I can't be caught without and be the priest of my home and be the one calling the shots. And so I shared this scripture with some of our servants last week on a all servant Zoom call. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to say this, then I'm going to give you two books to read, and then I'm going to pray, if that's okay, RJ. I'm going to say this, give you two books to read, and then I'm going to pray. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12 and 13. And the narrative exegetically is talking about King Jehoshaphat and Judah, and they were about to be sieged. They were about to be attacked, and they understood that there's no way in the world we're going to win this war. So now, I'm going to give you the narrative. The part we like is at the end when they say, The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Now, that's the part we like. Nobody knows where that came from. We just shout on, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Okay, but let me go before that. Before that, Jehoshaphat said, we all about to die. He said, I'm sitting on this throne and they're going to come kill me too. They're not going to take me hostage. They're going to come kill me. So since they're going to come kill me, the Bible says he got off of his throne and stood with the people. Sometimes, guys, you got to get off your throne. And you got to stand with your family. He stood with the people and said, Lord, the Bible says he stood with his people, the wives, the husbands, and the children, and all their possessions. Looked up and said, Lord, if they get us, they're going to kill all of us. So I'm taking off my royal apparel, and I'm standing with my family, and we need you to protect us. We need deliverance. And then it goes into the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. But what caught my eye is the 12th verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. He said, but our eyes are on you. My God, that does something for my heart. And I shared this again with our leaders last week, because I can't get this out of my spirit. It says the scripture says, we are powerless, but our eyes are on you. What we're dealing with right now, gentlemen, we don't have a whole lot of power over what's going on. But we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We got to stand and say, God, I'm not going to turn my eyes off of you. I'm going to believe. Got to go to work. Got to go to the store. Got to go get an oil change. Got to do certain things. But my eyes are going to be on you. I'm going to be safe. I'm going to be precautious. But my eyes are going to stay on you. Now, as a man, let me give you this. And I'm going to pray. And I might be done, RJ, within 20 minutes. There's a book that I want to recommend for those of you. Maybe you've heard of it. I don't know. It's called Disciplines of a Godly Man. Disciplines of a Godly Man by Kent Hughes. Disciplines of a Godly Man by Kent Hughes. I think it's a must read, to be honest with you. It deals with submitting yourself to accountability at a greater level. Submitting yourself to accountability at a greater level. Disciplines of, thank you for that, RJ. Disciplines of a Godly Man, Kent Hughes. He goes through a vast array of areas. And to be honest with you, if you read the table of context, the table of contents will bless you, because he goes through areas of life where you need greater discipline. And it's greater discipline, of course, in your money, your marriage, those sorts of things. But he also talks about greater discipline in friendships. Are you a good friend and how to be a better friend? Discipline with your mouth. Are you saying things you shouldn't say to the people you love and not speaking life into the people who you believe are connected to you? Disciplines of purity. Discipline with your eyes. David said, I'll set no unclean thing before my eyes. Are you disciplined with what you watch? I came downstairs and my boys were watching some dumb cartoon on Netflix. I promise you, it was just dumb. And it caught my ear because it was some guy was a ghost or something along those lines. And I said, is he doing an incantation? That's demonic. I said, wait. I said, man, turn that off. He was like, what? I was like, turn that off. I got to be disciplined, and I got to teach my sons to be disciplined enough to know. Now, you can't have Jesus and the devil on TV all day. There's some things we're not going to watch. Okay, I try to be lenient in certain areas. I got an 18-year-old. He grown. The only reason he home is because college is closed and he's doing his work from home. So there's some areas of leniency there. I got to understand he was living on his own. I got a 16-year-old, but I also got a 12-year-old. I'm like, I got to guard his ears to make sure that he don't hear what he don't need to hear. As a dad, I got to put an end to it and say, now, if y'all sneak and do it, that's one thing. But the standard of the house is something else. So check this out. Friendship, fatherhood, your mind, devotion, Kent Hughes, your tongue, get that book. There's another book, and this is an old book. You're going to have to find it in print. And I'm actually going to use this for prayer in just a minute. It is called Men at Work. Men at Work, Men and the at sign and Work. It's by Ivy Hilliard. Men at Work by Ivy Hilliard. And I'm going to use this format for prayer. He deals with mountains, marriages, money, your mission, your mentor, and your ministry. I'm going to say that again. He deals with your mountains. He deals with marriage. He deals with money, your mission, your mentor, and your ministry. Great book. You might even have to order it used. It's kind of hard to come by sometimes because it's been a long time since he wrote it. But I still think that's one of the best books I ever read towards men. And then later on, of course, Disciplines of a Godly Man. And so I just wanted to share those things with you. And I'm going to pray. We got to make some adjustments, be fully present, making sure you're not reducing God to just being about COVID-19, but asking God, where am I supposed to be after this? What training am I supposed to go through for a promotion? What job am I really supposed to be at? What sacrifices do I need to make right now? My succession plan. I'm back in school right now because I know I can't pastor for the rest of my life. I know I can't pastor forever. I don't want to be the old guy in the pulpit that everybody waiting to die. I don't want to be that guy. I want to leave the pulpit with everybody begging for more. I want y'all to be crying saying, please come back. Other than y'all like, dude, this dude is old, man. It's time for him to go. No, I want to leave on a high note. I want everybody like, no, please, you're the best. I'm like, you're right, I'm leaving. Exit stage left. I'm trying to leave like James Brown. So I'm doing the best I can to plan for my future. And I believe all of us should look for those opportunities. Then I'm also doing a family assessment. Lord, where am I right now? Where am I in my marriage? Where am I in my parenting? Where am I? My mom lives with me. I thank God for that opportunity to take care of her. She's 74. I thank God for that. Where am I as a son? Because I'm still a son. Keeping my eyes on Jesus and becoming more disciplined. Okay. I want to pray. Is that all right? Can I just go ahead right into prayer? Okay, Father, I thank you for the men that are on this call. Not only do I thank you for the men that are on this call, I thank you for the wives and the children that are also represented on this call. I thank you, God, because they are connected to so many people. They're connected to brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles, and they have extended family, God, and so many people have been touched by this pandemic that's going on. And I'm asking, Lord God, that you would reach them and protect their hearts, protect their minds, take away the anxiety and the fear, and take away the worry. Help us to be concerned about the things that matter, God. And I'm asking that you would just wash us. I'm asking that you would let your blood cover our homes and our automobiles and those who have to go to work. I pray you protect them as we go to the store, as we go about our lives, protect us and keep us in Jesus' name. But God, I pray for the marriages of everyone on the call that's married. I pray, God, that you would allow their marriages to flourish. I come against the spirit of divorce, God, and the nagging that a lot of marriages are dealing with right now. People are finding out, God, that they don't like their spouses as much as they thought. They like their space. They don't want to be around them, God, and we're stuck together for a little while longer. So I pray for the marriages of the men on this prayer call. And even the brothers that are single, God, I pray that you would continue to prepare them for the spouse that you have for them. Help them to know who you've assigned to their lives. Pray for their parenting, Lord, those that have children. I'm asking, God, that you make them great fathers. Cause them to have a listening ear for their children. Cause them, when their children want to talk, help them to listen. When their children want to speak, help them to honor their voices. And the gentlemen that don't have children, God, prepare them to lead. Prepare them to lead a family. Prepare them to be fathers in Jesus' name. I'm asking, God, that you would touch the money, the finances of every man on this call. Lord, there are people making money during this pandemic. Let them be those persons. Open their eyes to stocks and retirement. Help them to understand insurance so they can leave a legacy for their family. Help them to meet the right people, the right bankers, everyone that would be involved in their finances, God. Help them to research their 401ks and 403bs to help them understand what they need to do. I pray for their money that they would multiply in the season of dryness. Lord, you said in your word that Jacob sowed and reaped during the famine. He reaped a harvest when the famine was still going on. And I'm praying, God, that you would cause a harvest to come their way. Where there is deficit, replace. Where there is no finances, God, provide. In the name of Jesus, bless the mission of their life. Give them focus. Give them to understand what you've called them to be and what you called them to do. I'm asking, Lord Jesus, for clarity and purpose. Don't let a man be on these calls that RJ's having that doesn't understand their mission. And then give them a mentor. Give them someone to speak into their lives. Give them someone to take their marriage to a new height. Give them someone to take their ministry to a new height. Give them someone to take their money to a new height in Jesus' name. And God, I pray for RJ. Thank you for birthing something great inside of him. And everything I've spoken over all of them, I pray for a double portion over his life, in his marriage, in his money, in his mission, in his mentorship. I pray a double portion over him in Jesus' name, that the very desires of his heart you would grant. I speak peace to him and peace to every man on this call in Jesus' name. Lord, provide, open the right doors, make ways in Jesus' name. And God, until you deliver us from this, we speak growth, maturity, and help during this time. Keep our bodies healed, keep our families whole in Jesus' name. No matter what we encounter, keep us. No matter what we go through, keep us. No matter what comes around us, keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, sirs.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Gentlemen, if you all can give me 2 more minutes of your time. First of all, thank you, Pastor Sho, for leading us today. Truly a blessing. Always a impactful word, something tangible that can be taken away. So greatly appreciate you. 2 quick things. One, every Monday, we're going to be here at noon. Got different pastors lined up to pray and give us a word. So if you can join us at noon on Mondays, please do so. Please share with others. I would love for you all to continue to join us. Second thing that the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit is I want to be a blessing through this. And this is not something, 2 things that will benefit me in any way. I'm blessed that myself and my wife are both still getting paid completely. So our house is blessed. And so this is not something for me. This is also not something that Pastor Sho or any of the other pastors asked me to do. But I want to be a blessing to Have Life Church. Every church or every pastor that joins on this call, we want to be a blessing to their ministry. If we're honest, we know that online giving can be a challenge. Pastors across this country are doing the best that they can. But we know that just, you know, people will log on and log off very quickly when it's time to give. So if you can, I'm going to send you our Cash App. If you can give an offering today, 100% of that offering plus what I put in myself is going to Have Life Church directly via their online giving portal. So whatever the Holy Spirit lays on your heart, if you, you know, can give. If you can't, I promise you, no hard feelings, completely understand. I know some people aren't working, aren't getting paid. We understand, but we do want to be a blessing to Pastor Sho and Have Life Church during this time. So gentlemen, you know, if you can, please do so. If you can't, don't feel bad at all. We are, continuing to pray for you and your families. So thank you again for joining. Again, we'll be here next Monday and every other Monday until we can go back to, you know, work, go back outside. And so thank you all again for joining. If you have any questions, thoughts, ideas, please feel free to reach out to me. We'd love to connect each and every one of you. Have a blessed week. Stay safe. Praying for your families. God bless each of you.
Bless you, man. I appreciate you. Thank you for the seed.
Yes, sir, Pastor.